A pastor, newly appointed, went to a small rural community. He needed to mail a letter, and he's walking around trying to find the post office. He meets a little boy, and he says to the young boy, "Son, can you tell me where the post office is at?" And, of course, the boy knew, since he'd lived there quite a while. And then the preacher said to him, "Hey, if you come to church tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." And the little boy says, "Well, I don't know, preacher." He says, "You don't even know how to get to the post office." The title of the message this morning is Make Your Life Count. Make your life count. Every person here wants that to be true. Now I have a story to share. On September 9th of this month, on a Monday morning, Mary Charles, who lives on Maple Street, about 5:15 a.m., heard her smoke alarm go off. It was a beep. And she thought in her mind, she probably had to change the batteries, because that's what it does when it runs low, it starts beeping. She got up out of her bed, went into the other room. She saw and she smelled smoke. She knew that there was a real deal going on here. It wasn't just the battery. And 911 was called, and some three or four fire departments came, and there was a fire in the basement, which they think was started from old wiring. Now, it got so hot in the basement that it melted the PVC pipe throughout the basement. Not only that, there was a copper water line. The fitting somehow came apart, and it started spewing out water, and maybe that was God's way of helping put the fire out. He's good. But the point is that the entire house got filled with smoke, and after the insurance people came, basically where it landed was they have to gut the entire inside of the house to rewire the walls, the wiring behind the walls, and it's like a redo. Now, the purpose of the story is this. Mary Charles responded to a beep. I brought a smoke alarm with me, smoke detector, and actually this is a new one. We've got one in the house for the basement, but I plan to put this on the second floor. But the point is this, I want you to listen to this. I'm going to test it. There's going to be six loud beeps. And the purpose of sharing it is that there's incredible power in one beep. Let's listen. Mary Charles was alerted to a danger because of one beep, and she responded to it. In our text this morning in 2 Corinthians 5:19 to 21, here's what Paul says. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. If there's no better message on planet Earth, that God loves us and he wants to rescue us. I was up at the jail Friday, and I shared this same text. And I said to the people there, God has a rescue plan for your life. The same is true for us. And it goes on to say, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Let me stop there. God makes his appeal through people to other people about the amazing message. Let me suggest this. He is sending out beeps through your life to other people. The purpose is to wake them up. The purpose is to alert them to something better. And Paul says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So when I thought of Mary Charles's story, I just knew there had to be a sermon in there. with her smoke alarm, her smoke detector, and beeps. So here's the big idea of the message. Make your life's beeps count. In other words, you are sending out signals every day. We're going to talk about that in a bit. And you have beeps going out through your life to other people. You want to make your life count because you want to send out the right kind of beeps. There's bad beeps and there's good ones. But for Mary Charles, she responded to a simple smoke alarm beep, and it saved her life. Do you realize the beeps that go out of your life today could turn somebody and change their eternal destiny? They can go on the way to heaven. They can escape hell itself. Not only that, during this lifetime, on the earthly journey, when somebody finds Christ and they experience the rescue of what he wants to do for them, you know what happens? Their life satisfaction of peace and joy goes way up. The world is looking for something that will satisfy on the inside. We have the message that can help people experience that. So the big idea, make your beeps count. Beeps wake people up. They alert them. And so I want to share with you five beeps, five different ways that your life can be used by God to bless other people. And he can alert people or wake people up because of your life, because it's attractive and you have something they need. They're pretty simple, but let's get started. Number one, the first beep is this: love other people. Love other people. Do you realize when you got up this morning and you didn't even say a word to anybody else, your life was beeping? You know why? Love is something that comes from the heart. And other people read us. They discern whether we are a safe person, whether we're approachable, whether we're teachable, whether we're loving or not. You know that. You run into people and you kind of want to stay away. Other people you're attracted toward. You know why? There's a love factor in their life, not even spoken by words. Now read with me 1 Corinthians 13, 8, and 9 in your notes. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Here's what Paul is saying. If you get up in the morning, and if you're married or have kids in your home, you don't have to say a word, but you're sending out a beep signal. And the greater love you have in your heart for others and for God, the stronger the signal is. So he says, hey, be patient, be kind, don't envy, don't boast. Let me tell you what short circuits the beep. It says, it's not rude. Who likes to be around rude people, right? It'll short-circuit the message of a positive beep. It's not self-seeking. How about this one? It's not easily angered. You know who we stay away from? People that are violent eruptors. You know why? I don't feel love around that person. How about keeps no record of wrongs? Do you know anybody that's got a good memory of all your faults? I tell you, if love reigned in that person's heart, they would just tend to forget them and let them go. Same with you and me. It keeps no record of wrongs. It trusts, it hopes. Love perseveres. It doesn't fail. The point is this. You have something coming out of your life without saying a word. It's called love. And people read it. It's a beep that people discern. And they say, wow, I feel good about that person because when Christ lives in you, that love should just be flowing and positive. Here's a quote. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Let love go before you. It's real simple. Just love people. It's a beep. Number two. The second thing I want us to think about is this. Encourage others with your words. Beep number two is what comes out of your mouth in terms of blessing other people. Read with me Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Notice what he said. The words of my mouth send a message. I'm up at the jail Friday, and I asked this question. Got four different services, four different pods. Three are men, one pod is women. And I said this, have you encouraged anybody today? They're in jail. Few people raised their hands and said, yes, I have. I think that's just way cool. You can encourage anybody, any place, anywhere. Others said they hadn't maybe thought about it. You can be an encourager to other people. You know what it is? It's a beep. Just by virtue of what you say to them, strangers or family. And so the power of your words can send hope and healing, or it can be hurtful and destructive. Here's a quote I'll have Jake put up. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me tell you a secret. If you are a world-class encourager, and by that I mean wherever you go, whoever you meet, you want to lift them up and build them up, you know what you're going to do? You will eat of its fruit. You know what that means? People will love you. You will have more friends than you'll know what to do with. You will just abound inwardly because you're a person using the power of your tongue to build life into other people's lives. And you know what? It's a beep. It gets their attention. You have something that person will want. All right, number three. I love this one. The third beep is this. Demonstrate your faith. Demonstrate your faith. Read with me James 2 in your notes. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Here's what James is saying. If you have a faith going on inside you and Jesus is alive in your life, your actions will demonstrate your faith. Faith without works or action is dead. There's a story going around the world about two people by the name of Chrissy Miller and Schiller Joseph. They were hiking in Utah. How many have heard about this story? All right, just one. Let me tell it to you. Chrissy Miller, about 2 years ago, felt like she wanted to donate a kidney. And she went to the doctor, had medical tests, and she was overweight and she failed. And it's then about 2 years later, on September 14th, 2023, I guess a little over a year, she says, Lord, you want me to donate a kidney or not? September 14th, 2023. By chance, on that date, she goes hiking at Y Mountain near Provo, Utah. She went for a hike. She ran into a guy by the name of Schiller Joseph. He and his wife were there. And he was a pastor. First time they met on that day, on a hiking trail. And they bump into each other, and she says to Schiller, why do you like Utah? And he said, I moved here from Florida. I've been on the kidney transplant list, and it'll take 8 years probably for me to get a kidney in Florida. I moved to Utah because the list is much shorter. So this lady, Chrissy Miller, is having a conversation with a stranger until they met on a hiking trail on that day, and she prayed that morning, Lord, if you want me to donate a kidney, tell me. And she meets this guy. Later on, she said this, I kid you not, I just felt the answer to my prayer. Now, here's what happened. She was a perfect match for this guy. Here's a picture of the hospital. She gave her kidney, one of her kidneys, to him. Now, it's an amazing story, but she, like a year or two earlier, had a prayer and a desire to donate a kidney. And then on the morning of September 14th, 2023, she said, Lord, if you want me to really do this, just kind of make it happen. She goes for a hike, meets this guy who moved from Florida to Utah to get on a shorter waiting list, and they ended up being a perfect match. And it's an amazing story. Let me tell you, that is a beep that has gone around the world. It really is. You talk about demonstrating your faith. Total stranger. And she wanted to do it for some time. You know, whether our acts or our beeps are big or small, they have great impact. It gets people's attention. You know, I would consider donating a kidney probably to a family member, maybe a close friend. And say, you know what? Maybe that's me, a complete stranger. That is an amazing demonstration of faith on her part. It's an incredible story. The point is this. When you demonstrate your faith in big way or small way, it's a beep signal to the world around us of that faith is alive in your life. And it wakes people up. It gets their attention. Why would a woman who is married, has her own kids, want to do this? And her husband was even supportive of the whole thing. It's an incredible story. But demonstrating your faith can have huge, high impact. All right. Number one, just love people. Number two, use the words of your mouth to encourage people. Another beep. Number three, demonstrate your faith. Number four, the fourth thing is this, invite people. Invite people to church. Read with me Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's more people at home on Sunday morning in Walton than there are in church. You know why? Either they don't understand the message of grace yet, or they're too busy or preoccupied to be in some church, in any community. But the point is, you and I have an amazing, powerful thing called an invite. Now, it may be to a service, it could be to some event, could be to many different things. But I want you to know, you have incredible influence through this thing called an invitation. Now, many of you know Bob Wilkie. Bob and Mary were a part of the church for many years, but here's his story. He was away from the church for about 30 years, three decades. Maybe he went to a funeral or a wedding, but he worked for IBM, and he was, I think, living the American dream, and he didn't have time for church. And then his grandson, Timmy, invited him to a church service. And he came, I think probably out of respect for his grandson. Tammy's here, the daughter. And he came. One thing led to another. And listen, he then felt called to ministry. And now he and Mary are pastoring out at Plymouth Church. But the point is this, it started with the power of an invitation from a grandson. And he responded to the beep, and then God took over in a bigger way, And it put his life on a different pathway and trajectory. Don't ever underestimate the power of your invitation to someone who's been away from the church for decades. Don't ever underestimate it. You know why? It's a beep. And people will respond at the appropriate time. So read with me, or let me read it to you. 3 in 5 people, LifeWay Reacher says, churchgoers say they've extended at least one invitation in the past 6 months for someone to attend their church. About a third of churchgoers say they haven't invited anyone in the past 6 months. Listen, you have incredible power in extending an invitation, whether it be to church or some event, whatever it is. Next Sunday, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to start a 3-part series on the bait of Satan, which is offendedness. How do you deal with it? It's very practical. I love the topic. There's invite cards at the back on the table or on the offering box. Grab a couple and think of somebody you could just invite. It's low key. Say, hey, would you want to come? You know why? You could change the trajectory of someone's life merely by inviting them to something that can make a difference in their life. All right. So number 4 is invite people. And number 5, here's the last one. The 5th beep I want to talk about is this. Ask people faith questions. Faith questions. Read with me Acts 8:30 in your notes. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? So let me tell you the story. So we find here that Philip is on a dirt road and he runs into an Ethiopian. And they start to have a conversation. It's just a providential meeting. And this Ethiopian is reading the Old Testament Isaiah. And Philip goes up to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? He asked him a very simple question. The guy said, no, I do not. Philip then responded by sharing the good news of Jesus with him. When you ask somebody a faith question, you never know what kind of a door can open to have a deeper conversation. Up at the jail, I use this in some of the pods. It's in your notes. I said, where are you at in your spiritual journey? And there's a couple ladies in the ladies' pod. They raised their hand. I looked at them, and you know what they said? I don't know. I don't know. They're just being honest. Another lady in the back said this, I'm at the very beginning. Others didn't even respond. And the same with the guys. But the point is this, when you ask a general question like that, it's either going to be an open door or a closed door. In one pod, I was able to share part of my story. In 45 seconds, I shared with how I came to Christ, how Dad died early, how I was lost as a teenager, how I went to the sports camp. It was a turning point for me. And I found purpose through Christ. And in about 45 seconds, I shared my story in response to their answer to a faith question. You and I need to learn how to do this. It's not rocket science. It's just being sensitive and asking the right kind of questions in the moment to see if there's an open door for you to walk through. In this case, Philip had an open door. And he shared how Christ could change this guy's life. And in fact, the guy responded to the message, to the beep, and he was baptized. It's an amazing story. The same can happen to you and me. But we just have to ask boldly faith questions to people at the appropriate time that are very generic. Hey, where are you at in your spiritual journey? Have you ever gone to church in the past? I mean, it's low key. But they're door opener questions. They're a beep into a soul that you never know what's going on. Here's a quote. The first step in receiving an answer is being brave enough to ask a question. So this week, I want you to, in your mind and heart, think about this. The people that you run into that may not be church connected or show much interest in spiritual things, figure out a question to ask them. Say, hey, How you doing spiritually? Or where are you at in your journey? See where it goes. You are Christ's ambassadors. It's a beep. It's small, but it works. So let me summarize. Beep number one, love people. Have your heart full of love. Number two, encourage people with your words. Just speak positively. Number three, demonstrate your faith. Actions, make it happen. Number four, invite people. It's a beep. A message, a signal that goes out to others. Number five, ask questions. Ask faith questions. And see where it goes so that you can share the message of Christ with other people. All right, here's the final slide. We are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? An ambassador represents another country, and they live somewhere else. We represent heaven, but we live on earth. Now, I'm going to play this one more time, so there'll be six loud beeps. But the point of this that I want to drive home is this. All what it takes to turn someone's heart, to have them consider God or to figure out their spiritual journey, is a beep from your life to theirs that gets their attention. So here we go. By the way, Tim Labrat shared last Sunday, I think it was during the service, check your smoke detectors. If you haven't got them, go out and buy one, or check the batteries, make sure they're up to date. But as a believer, listen, you are an ambassador. You are his representative. Make your life count. You know how you do that? Be careful of your beeps. What are you sending out signal-wise to other people? And when you get that open door, you could be the person, like Philip was to this Ethiopian, that turned his life into a different direction, all because you're available to be used by God to bless others. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just take a few moments and ask yourself the question, what kind of beeps are going out from your life? Take a few moments, let the Holy Spirit just minister to your heart. What kind of signals are they? Messages. And maybe God has shown you that there's better beeps he wants to create in you and through you. Probably the most important thing is that we know that Christ is in our life. And he's our Savior and Lord. And I just want to lead us all in a simple prayer you can pray silently after me, of which you can allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life by inviting him in and just letting him live through you. So if you want to pray this prayer silently after me, you can. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me and I'm valuable to you. Forgive me of living life apart from you. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he's alive forevermore. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart, and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to him. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. And Father, I pray you'll bless me to live a life that beeps in such a way that other people will want what I have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.